And kia ora koutou. You're on Community First Radio. I'm Robin Wilson-Whiting, your host, and I'm joined by Stephen Perry. Welcome, Stephen.
Kia ora koutou, everyone.
And we are both organisers here at First Union and members of Community First. So Community First is an organisation as part of our union to reach out and mobilise our members and the communities about the issues that affect them. And there are plenty of things that affect our members that we can't deal with in their own negotiations, whether it's housing or politics or inequality, things that very much have a material impact on our members. So this is a show that we've put together to try and discuss the different things that are happening in our country and in our world, and bring in interesting guests and hear from you, the public, about what's affecting you and what we can do about it. I've invited Stephen along today because not only is he an organiser with First Union, he is the lead campaigner for It's Our Future, which is an organisation that is lobbying against a TPPA that would not serve the best interests of New Zealanders. And there's been plenty of different variations of the same agreement, and I think they've been consistent in their negative effects on New Zealand and our sovereignty. So I've brought Stephen along today to talk a little bit about the TPPA and give us an update on what's going on. So thanks for coming along, Stephen.
Thanks, Robin.
I guess we can, if you're happy to give us a bit of an update on what's been happening recently, and maybe give people a brief overview if they haven't been keeping up with the news with what the TPPA is right now.
Perhaps before I jump into, you know, the nuts and bolts of where things are at the moment, it's not a bad idea to maybe remind people about, you know, what the TPPA was in the first place, because it's an acronym that gets thrown around all the time, and, you know, a lot of people know that a lot of people are upset about it, but they don't necessarily know what the issues are. So in a nutshell, what the TPPA is an agreement, or a potential agreement, between a whole bunch of countries, including initially the United States. Now the United States is no longer a part of it. Japan, Mexico, Canada, Malaysia, Brunei, Australia, and New Zealand, to basically change a lot of the laws we have around overseas investment and around trade and around how money flows in and out of the country. Now, it sounds like a really boring thing, but the effects that a TPPA agreement would have for everyday New Zealanders would be potentially quite significant. So when you change the laws around overseas investment, for instance, some of the things which the TPPA was concerned about was taking away the ability of the government to put restrictions on what overseas corporations could or couldn't do when they come into New Zealand. And, you know, again, that sounds like it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but then you think about, you know, what sort of things would we want corporations to do? One of the first things would be, you know, comply with our laws, comply with our regulations, things which are put in place to look after both, you know, ordinary people, like the social welfare system, like labour laws, like environmental standards, all of these things. And also, you know, measures designed to protect ourselves and our environment going into the future. And that was all the stuff which was up for negotiation in the TPPA. So the benefit for the agreement, and the reason the government was negotiating it, was basically so that we would be able to have greater access for New Zealand products into overseas markets. So predominantly the United States and Japanese markets, so we could export our beef, our dairy, that kind of thing. I think what annoyed a lot of New Zealanders was it was going to be everyday people who would suffer the downsides of the agreement, but they wouldn't necessarily see the profits. So this negotiation set agreement went on for a very long time, about 5 years, and myself and lots of other activists from It's Our Future, and, you know, heaps of other groups as well, particularly the unions, have campaigned very hard to make the public aware of what the risks were from the agreement. It all looked like it had died down last year. We had the good news that the United States had pulled out of the agreement, and you know, essentially what it looked like is that it would have killed it, because the United States were the biggest country involved in the agreement, and they were the ones leading the charge for the agreement to go ahead. Unfortunately, what's happened since then is the remaining countries have got together and they've done their best to try to keep the agreement afloat, including a whole bunch of things, or including all the negative aspects, really, that were in the original agreement, and hobbling on with a zombie agreement, which has been called heaps of different names. You know, I like to call it the zombie TPPA because it's come back from the dead, but at other times it's called the TPPA 11, or what they're now calling it, the CPTPP, or Comprehensive Progressive TPP, which is basically just a branding exercise to make it sound warm and fuzzy when it's not.
Mm.
So at the moment, there was a set of negotiations in
Vietnam.
In Vietnam, that's right, very recently, a couple of weeks ago, which Jacinda Ardern, our brand new Prime Minister, attended on behalf of New Zealand. And the agreement was on the absolute knife edge of getting signed in Vietnam. And what is really interesting is that the Labour Party, who were always, you know, pretty critical of the TPPA, they didn't put up any significant opposition to the agreement when they went to Vietnam. And so the agreement hasn't been signed yet. It hasn't been reached. But New Zealand have indicated that they're happy with the way things sit currently. So it looks like we've got a new government who's pretty intent on bringing about this agreement.
Yeah.
And I guess what that means now is, in the next months, years, potentially weeks, there's going to be a reinvigoration of the campaign to say no to the TPPA.
Yeah, and that's the same as much as, yeah, like you said, the Labour Party had been quite critical of the TPPA while in opposition. Yes, they, you know, it was Helen Clark's government that started things off and was definitely in favour of this type of trade agreement. But it was also the same Labor MPs that marched down Queen Street in the mass demonstration against the TPP around the process, but also in terms of a lot of the things that they've very silently flipped on, basically, which is disappointing, to say the least.
Yeah, it really is disappointing. It's something quite ironic for me is last week, It's Our Future, and one of the groups we work with called Action Station, we went down to Wellington and we presented a petition to David Parker, who's the new Trade Minister, obviously from the Labour Party. And we were on the steps of Parliament delivering this petition. And the last time anyone was on the steps of Parliament delivering a petition about the TPPA, it was a petition that had been written by Labour in opposition. They set up a petition against the TPPA. They got 100,000 people to sign it. They did a big song and dance on the steps of Parliament about this petition and how they're going to push for all these changes in the agreement. But unfortunately, now that they're in government, they've essentially backed off on their previous position on the agreement, which is really disappointing. I think it is fair to say that, and I'll talk about more of this later, perhaps after we've played some music, there have been some improvements to the agreement, but there's still a lot of it which is really, really problematic. And Labour Party have essentially rolled over around it. Having said that, it's not finished. You know, the campaign continues, the agreement's not signed, and there's still plenty of opportunities for the public to get involved to have their say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got plenty of questions about the story behind this recent change in Labor's position on a political level, but perhaps we should listen to a song and come back to it then. There's plenty to talk about.
Let's try that again.
I need take it personally. I'm surprised you call me after the things I said. Skirt, skirt on it, skirt up on it, skirt down. You acting like me, acting like we was more than a summer fling. I said farewell, you took it well. Promise I won't cry over spilled milk. Give me a paper towel, give me another Valium, give me another hour or two, hour with you. Why you bother me when you know you don't want me? Why you bother me when you know you got a woman? Why you hit me when you know better? Know you know better, know your crew better than you do. Call me looking for you, I'll be looking for you.
With Love Galore. You're on Community First Radio. I'm your host, Robin, and I'm joined by Stephen Perry of First Union and It's Our Future. We're talking today about the TPPA and what the story is, where it's at, why it's where it's at, and what we can do about it, actually, and what impact it may have on us as Kiwis. Stephen is going to talk now about what happened, what went down in Vietnam recently, to give us a bit of an insight into, I guess, some of the ruptures within the different countries about, you know, what the substantive issues that are outstanding. I guess there are outstanding issues, or has
definitely, by all means.
Yeah.
So in the lead up to the Vietnam meeting, there have been a series of negotiations going on for months and months between the different countries negotiating the agreement about you know, what do you do with a trade agreement that doesn't have its biggest country in it anymore? So it's the United States, because a whole lot of the things they agreed to were all about, you know, getting access to the US market, and you take the US market out of the equation and suddenly it's a completely different situation. So that was what the discussions were about. From as far as I understand it, New Zealand and Australia and Japan had all been pushing really, really hard to keep the agreement pretty much exactly as it was. And the reason they were doing that is because they were desperate for the United States to rejoin the agreement. And if they kept the agreement in exactly the same form as the United States had left it before the US pulled out, then it's much more likely that the US would be able to rejoin later on, and then we'd be left with the same agreement, basically.
But before you go on, can I just ask a question? I've been wondering about this, because a lot is said about the potential of the US rejoining, and obviously that the US being a part of it was a huge incentive for a lot of countries getting involved in the first place. Do you think that that's a real prospect of the US? I mean, obviously, everything's up in the air. I mean, anything could happen with Donald Trump. But do you feel like there is a genuine interest by the remaining parties to have a deal between themselves?
I mean,
forgetting about the US.
What, between the remaining parties? Yeah, I mean, I think there probably is an interest there to make it happen. All the countries have come into the agreement with different priorities, right? And a big part of it has been China. You know, Japan behind the US is the largest economy in the TPPA, and they're probably the second biggest cheerleader for the agreement. That is before the US left. So now they're the biggest proponent of the agreement going ahead. And I think a huge part of what they're trying to achieve is countering China's growth in the region, because Japan and China, for reasons which we don't need to go into here, obviously don't have a great history. So they're competing economic powers. But so far as New Zealand is concerned, it was really hard for me to understand why the national-led government was taking such an aggressive position on keeping the TPPA alive, even with the United States out of it. And as far as I can understand it, it's on one hand, it was a desire to lay the groundwork for the United States to come back in, and I'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. But also, I think it was kind of viewed as a legacy issue for Tim Grosser and for John Key and some of those National Party politicians who'd invested so much time and political capital in the agreement. You know, it developed momentum and they wanted to see it through. So where things landed in Vietnam is basically the negotiating countries came up with a handy trick to kind of get around the fact that, you know, on one hand, they wanted the United States back, but on the other hand, they didn't want to commit themselves to a whole bunch of stuff which would only be in the interest of US corporates if they were to get nothing to show for it. So what they agreed to do was to spend a whole lot of items in the TPPA, and that's where it currently stands. And we know what things they've suspended. That is something which has been made public, which is a rarity for negotiations around the TPPA, because up until... Well, it is still secret, but throughout the beginning stage of the TPPA negotiations, we as the public just got no information whatsoever. So what they've taken out, basically, is all the stuff around the cost of medicines, which had been an issue in for the New Zealand public in a big way. You know, that was one of the things that really resonated with people when we were campaigning about the TPPA was, look, you know, big US pharmaceutical companies are trying to force the New Zealand government to sign up to a set of changes to our intellectual property law, which would mean that our life-saving drugs that we access through hospitals and through Pharmac and through our doctors and whatnot, that these would cost more, with the result being that there'd be decreased access to those life-saving medicines. So that's fortunately off the table, as long as the US stays out of the agreement. Also, changes to Pharmac. There were going to be what they call disciplines on Pharmac, which is basically changing the way that it does its... the way that it that it does bulk purchasing.
Yep.
That was viewed by a lot of the American pharmaceutical companies who are lobbying behind the US negotiating team. Pharmac was viewed as anti-competitive, and what that means in real terms is it was hurting their profits because we were, you know, bulk buying, and that's a good thing for the New Zealand public. So that's all gone, which is great. One of the things which is still in the agreement that's really, really significant is investor state dispute settlement. Now, this is basically a mechanism where if New Zealand were to change its laws about, you know, pick any type of law which protects the public or protects the environment. Robin, do you have an example? Just anything?
RMA?
Yep, RMA is a great one. So, I mean, if the New Zealand government were to change the way the Resource Management Act worked, and, you know, and that would create further restrictions on what an international investor could or couldn't do in New Zealand. One of those investors who was already invested in the country would have the ability basically to sue the New Zealand government for changing its law in a way that would hurt their profits. And that just seems like an insane thing to commit to for a country, because basically you're then you're making it much harder to do the things that you need to do to look after, you know, not only the citizens but also the environment. And you just don't know in advance what that's going to require. I mean, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the track, who knows what the challenges facing our country are going to be, whether it's around housing, whether it's around sanitation, you know, access to clean water, swimmability of rivers, climate change responses, any of these things. If we'd been locked into the TPPA with the investor state dispute settlement provision in it, then we would basically risk having to fork out for the lost profits of overseas investors for doing what we need to do to look after the country. So it's a really, really worrying part of the TPPA, and it was one of the things which really caught the public imagination when we've campaigned around this in the past. And so Labor, at the end of the meetings in Vietnam, you know, they've come out talking about, you know, we've improved the ISDS, or the investor state dispute settlement components of the agreement, and they're trumping this up like it's a big win that they've achieved, when really they've just sort of nibbled at the edges of it. Basically, what they've done is they've put in a restriction on the type of investment or the type of investor that that can use the investor state dispute settlement. So what they've put in place is that if a overseas investor has a government contract and they feel that contract has been breached, they can't sue the New Zealand government for the breach of that contract using the investor state dispute settlement mechanism. They just have to use the normal courts like any other investor would. And, you know, that's great, I suppose, but it's really not the big issue. The big issue was that we'd risk legal action, and we'd have a chilling effect around any type of regulation designed to protect the public or environmental interest. And that stuff is absolutely intact in the TPPA as it currently stands. And so, you know, Jacinda Ardern and the Labor Party are doing a charm offensive around this. It's a very, you know, cute video on YouTube with, you know, Jacinda, you know, very convincingly talking to her constituency about the changes that they've made and standing up for New Zealand, blah, 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 blah. The problem is there's just no substance to it. They've really not made any real achievements in this area. And this is one of the things which they put up as an issue going to bargaining. So it's pretty disappointing, to say the least. And the challenge over the next weeks, months, years, potentially, is how we counter that spin and communicate to people that the agreement which Labor have signed up to is exactly the same so far as investor state dispute settlement, for all intents and purposes, to the one that National wrote up. I mean, in that respect, there's a really funny interchange on Radio New Zealand the other morning where Bill English, who's been interviewed by Kim Hill, and she said to him, "Well, you know, Mr. English, how different really is what Labor's negotiated from what National had on the table?" And he actually turned around and said, "Well, he's had to ask Professor Jane Kelsey what she thinks." And of course, Jane Kelsey is the biggest critic of the TPPA, and she's been shouting from the rooftops that Labor have signed us up to pretty much exactly the same agreement that that National did. So it's disappointing, and we'll be doing campaigns around that. The last thing I'll say on this segment before we talk about some of the other issues is that while New Zealand's pretty much bowed down so far as the TPPA 11 is concerned, the agreement still isn't finalised. There are still four countries which have issues that haven't been resolved yet. Those countries are Brunei, Malaysia, Vietnam, and Canada.
Mm.
And, you know, who knows how long it's going to take for those to be resolved. Some people reckon it'll be, you know, a few weeks and the deal's as good as done. Some people reckon it's never going to happen. And, you know, it's kind of like gazing into a crystal ball. You just don't know. You just don't know where things stand.
Yeah. And just the Canada one day just didn't show up to the negotiations at Vietnam. Is that over the same issue that they're still, you know, that they still have on the table is outstanding? What is that issue?
I mean, with Canada not showing up to the negotiating table, that who knows what was going on there. I mean, if you were following the news as I was of that set of negotiations, it was just all over the place. You know, you had one night all the ministers announced that that they'd reached agreement. Then the French trade minister tweeted saying, "Well, no, we haven't." Then the next day,
what? Why is France involved?
Not France, sorry. Canada. And I'll get to why I'm speaking about France in a moment. Canada said, no, we haven't reached agreement. Then the next day, Trudeau apparently failed to show up, and then Jacinda came out and said, "Oh, look, it's all over. We don't know when it's gonna happen again." And then the next day they come around and say, "Oh, you know, we haven't actually reached agreement, but we're pretty much there." And the issue that was outstanding for Canada was cultural exceptions to the agreement. I'm not an expert on Canada by any means, but obviously they're a bilingual country, and there are a lot of protections in place to ensure that that, you know, that French in particular, you know, French Canadian language is promoted and sort of maintained. And that was and protections around that was basically, as I understand it, the core of what Canada's objection to the TPPA as it currently stands is. So they spat the dummy on that, and that's one of the major issues that still needs to be negotiated. But I mean, the fact that something like the promotion of a national language in a country is a concern around the TPPA really speaks to just how significant it is for our everyday life. If New Zealand, think of the Treaty of Waitangi, you know, Te Tiriti. It's there's a protection apparently in the agreement, the Treaty of Waitangi exception, but, you know, Jane Kelsey and a lot of the other experts don't hold much faith in its effectiveness. You know, attempts to, you know, promote, you know, Māori engagement or in business and industry to regenerate the regions, to promote te reo Māori, you know, these things are all potentially affected by the TPP.
Ridiculous. I was screwing at my face before because I was just dumbfounded. It's why that's the outstanding issue for Canada. I mean,
yeah.
And actually, when you mentioned cultural protections, I was thinking like First Nations, like they must have some sort of obligations. No.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that Canada don't have a great record when it comes to First Nations people, but,
that
said, neither do we, so.
Yeah, that's true, but the marketing, the way that Justin Trudeau markets himself is that he's, you know, the leader for all people and that he's progressive and all this stuff, and I think it's really helpful, actually, that we see both for Justin Trudeau and for Jacinda Ardern that as soon as it comes down to the wire, they're going to sign up to something like this that goes against everything.
I mean, it's a really tricky thing because, I mean, me, like many others, were absolutely thrilled when we had a change in government, right? Because
yeah.
the last 9 years as an activist and as a trade unionist have been really difficult, because you just watch, the rights and protections and the funding as well, in particular, for that protects, ordinary people just drying up under the national-led government. And so now we have an opportunity for some real change. But I think you've got to be really careful to make sure that, that we're still critical, that we don't just bow down to the fact that, we've got a Labor-led government now, we've got Greens and we've got the Green Party as part of a confidence and supply agreement, everything's good in the world. Now it's more important now than ever to be engaged around this stuff.
Yeah,
and to hold them to account.
I know that I'm in a bubble, but I do feel like there has been quite a bit of publicity about Labor's, cynical approach to this TPP stuff and how it's hypocritical of their previous stance. And I think that happening early on is actually a good thing in terms of reminding people that they, still the government, still very much able to go back on their word, and don't get all those warm fuzzies just yet. But do you want to play a song, Stephen?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, well, you just want me to talk? You're not going to ask any questions? I thought you were emceeing.
Hey, I am the host, and I am Robin, and I was gesturing to Stephen because he contributed those songs. Perhaps you could
tell us. Okay, gotcha.
Tell us what you've been playing.
Launch deep into a conversation about Trey.
No, we talk about the music first.
Yeah, oh, cool. Nice one. All right, the last song you heard was Decepticon by La Tigra. That's Kathleen Hanna, previously of Riot Girl's a genre, but yeah. The name of the band is
Bikini Kill.
Yeah, her amazing Riot Girl band from back in the early 90s. And then the song before that was I Heard by a band called Young Fathers, who've come out of the UK lately, and they're a really cool combination of kind of, I guess, lo-fi electronic music and some sort of strange hip-hop elements as well. So they're cool. Really cool.
Thank you. So before the break, we were talking about what went down in Da Nang, Vietnam, and all of the different permutations and very, in the grand scheme of things, minor changes to the TPP deal that was negotiated recently and where it stands now. And I guess what I was interested to hear this side of the musical break was really what's going on here in New Zealand, what is the story with this coalition government. Labour's kind of gone out ahead and basically signed off on this or led those negotiations, but they happen to be in a very, their government is very much reliant on the support of NZ First and the Greens, and of course they would get national support for this deal because it's pretty much exactly like you say, what National negotiated themselves, but what's going on behind the scenes, or what are the implications with those other parties?
I mean, when I first heard the news that Winston had chosen to go with the Labour Party, my first thought was, other than that, my job as a union organiser is going to be a hell of a lot easier with all the employment legislation which Labour is going to reintroduce. Was the TPPA, so far as New Zealand is concerned, was most likely dead because Winston Peters had been quite a vocal critic for a long time around the TPPA, as had the Green Party. So it didn't even occur to me that you might end up in a situation where National and Labour might be banding together to get a deal across the line, but unfortunately that's exactly what we're staring down the barrel of. So the process, it's probably helpful to talk about what the process is from here so far as the TPPA is concerned, assuming and it's a big assumption that the that agreement is eventually reached. What will happen is there will be an announcement that a deal has been struck. There will be a period of time until the agreement is actually written up and then signed by all the parties. And then from there, it has to go through a domestic process. And there's a select committee hearing on the agreement. And then thereafter, there'll be a vote in Parliament. Technically speaking, the vote's not necessary to put a treaty into law, but, Labour have indicated that they will do it. National did it as well, around the original TPPA. So the Greens and New Zealand First aren't really going to be involved in this until way down the track, until we're actually going to the select committee and when the votes are actually happening in Parliament. And the Greens have already made it very clear that they won't vote for the agreement as it currently sits. They rightfully think that it hasn't gone far enough to address the real concerns which New Zealand has had about the agreement. Obviously, the Green Party is concerned around the environment, but also they've taken a strong stand on social welfare and protections for the most vulnerable in our society, and that's exactly what the TPPA would threaten the most. So it's not surprising that they've pulled out, they've withdrawn their support so far as the agreement is concerned, if it was ever there. I mean, who knows what went on in the coalition negotiations. New Zealand First have been, their silence has been deafening around this. They haven't made any real statements about where they stand, but I think it's fair to say that they're probably just going to wait it out and they'll make a call closer to the time. But National have been very clear that if Labor needs support to get the agreement over the line, then they'll be there to do it, which for me is a measure of Labor's hypocrisy around this. The fact that they can marshal a petition, stand on the steps of Parliament, you know, show up at the last minute to protests which have been organised by civil society against the TPPA, use that to build their political capital, and then, you know, when the crunch time hits, they're willing to sidle up to National and put more or less the same agreement across the line. That's the reality of where we sit at the moment. So it is really disappointing. As I said, it's a big assumption to say that the agreement will go ahead. The issues with Canada, the issues with Vietnam and Malaysia and whatnot, these are not necessarily small issues. And another factor to take into consideration is NAFTA, North American Free Trade Association, which was a free trade agreement, rather, which was a really controversial free trade agreement, which was reached between the US, Canada, and Mexico in the early 90s, which is now up for renegotiation. And the way that the TPP and NAFTA relate to one another is quite important. There's a lot of stuff in the TPPA which the United States would seize upon in their negotiations with Canada and with Mexico. So they're, both those countries are going to be reluctant to commit themselves to the TPPA until they've got a clear idea of where things are at with NAFTA. So, you know, there's so many balls in the air. We just don't know what the situation is going to be. The only power that we have here in New Zealand is to exercise influence over our own government, and I think there's a lot of ammunition there in the sense that Labor would appear to have essentially rollover on this issue. So there's definitely going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of mobilisation around this coming up. You know, recently we had so it's our Future in Action station. We did some crowdfunding. We got 8 ginormous billboards, you know, for Jacinda to see on the way to the airport. and you're basically telling her to walk away from the TPP. That was really successful. There's a lot of engagement around that. We had a petition which was really, really well signed. We delivered last week. Mm. And I think it's fair to say that if it does look like the TPPA 11 is going to go ahead, then there's going to be more street protests like the one we saw almost 2 years ago, where we had, you know, across country about 25,000 people hitting the streets, which was amazing. And there's no reason that shouldn't happen again.
Yeah, just make it politically untenable for them to proceed. That would be great. Is there anything else that you can suggest people out there do in terms of, you know, direct things that they can do at the moment, whether it's, you know, joining the Labor Party or emailing people? I don't know.
I mean, I think it's fair to say that there's going to be a lot of people within the Labor Party who are disappointed by the position that that the leadership have taken around the TPPA. I mean, a couple of years ago there was some great activism that took place within the Labor caucus. So the members' caucus, I should say, where a remit was passed, basically saying we reject the TPP. That's coming from the Labor members. And of course that didn't flow through to policy further on down the track. Mm. But that was a great wake up call to the people in the Labor Party, the leaders who were more sympathetic to the TPPA, that they had to take this seriously. And I think a lot of the rhetoric which Labor engaged in you know, during their time in opposition around the TPPA can be put down to the pressure which activists put on them, both within the party and from without. You know, they got a lot of political capital of being seen at those marches and speaking on the podium and whatnot. So there's a lot of space to continue to do that. So I'd encourage people, you know, if they've got a local MP, particularly Labour MP, to engage in dialogue with them about it. It's fair to say that, you know, chances are you might have a Labour MP who's sympathetic to the position. A lot of them are. And the more pressure you can put on the internal hierarchy of the party around this issue, the better, frankly. But also anything you can do to publicise the issue. I mean, have conversations with people. You know, go on Facebook and talk about it, because there's a misconception that, well, there's two misconceptions. One, the agreement's dead and buried. Two, that, you know, Jacinda's here and she's going to look after us and we can just forget about this whole issue. I mean, neither of them are true. And so the more awareness we can raise around this and the more visibility we can give the issue, then the more likelihood we have to stop it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And when the time comes, so far as Select Committee submissions are concerned, you know, when we have a date for any negotiations, you know, heating back up, you know, you can guarantee that there'll be coordinated public protests around that and activities for you to engage in. So in order to sort of keep up with the play with it, I guess what I'd say is go to the It's Our Future website. It's ourfuture.org.nz, and there's a mailing list you can subscribe to there, which just provides regular updates on both on what's going on and also, you know, how you can engage to put the agreement on the rocks.
Awesome, thank you. And plenty of opportunities to get involved. I'm just looking at the time and thinking we might be able to have a short song and then we can close things off. Thanks so much for listening. This is Community First FM, and we'll listen to one more song.
See you out there, you're painted evil. Don't bother me. Playing on the clothes you wear, laughing down at me, but I don't care. Right on. Is to educate people, learn a lot about society, making up the rules, holding back the school. Only one thing we can prove, we got a hell of a nation. What is this thing called justice? Is there really levels for a man? All means you know you must regain all your children's trust. Right on. Messed up world of tears. Soon everyone's eyes will see. I can hear the people's fear. The world has put a heavy load on me. Right on for the doctor. I am so blind, but I
just cannot see. You out there, painting evil, please don't bother me. Playing on the rag you wear, laughing at me, but I swear I just don't care. Right on. For the darkness, right on for the darkness, right on for the darkness, brother. Whoa!
That was Willie Wright with Right On for the Darkness. You're on Community First FM. My name's Robin, and we've been joined by Stephen Perry from It's Our Future. We've been talking about the TPPA. It's been, I think, very informative, and hope you agree. If you want to catch up with what It's Our Future is doing, go to itsourfuture.org.nz or follow them on Facebook. We've also got a First Union and a Community